This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., speaking to you from the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
That introduction has become familiar to radio listeners across the United States and, in more recent years, around the world. The Baptist Bible Hour has now completed 40 years of broadcasting, and for most of those years, Elder Bradley has been inviting listeners to hear another message of God's sovereign grace. From the very beginning, there was an emphasis on God's power, the authority of His Word, and the need of His blessings upon the church, as opposed to dependence on man-made programs. But within a few years, the theme of sovereign grace was being emphasized. This program was heard in 1956.
Greetings, radio friends. This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., speaking to you from the auditorium of the New Testament Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio, and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. That he might teach them certain lessons which are profitable for their spiritual progress. We have seen that since the Lord is in his holy temple and he sovereignly administers over all things of this world, and he sovereignly brings afflictions upon his people for their good and for the glory of his name, that thereby the earth is to keep silence before him. We come to the third consideration of this message, and that is God is sovereign in saving sinners. Now, I want you to get this. The text says the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. As our Lord is in his holy temple, he rules and reigns over this world in a sovereign manner. We've read to you from the Psalms where it says he does whatsoever he pleaseth. And as this is true in his rulership over this world, and as it is true in his lordship over his people, it is also true in the saving of sinners.
We also share a portion of a message entitled Salvation is of the Lord from July 1958.
I love that passage in the book of Romans chapter 8 where it says there in the 29th verse, for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. That purpose was sealed and settled before the foundation of the world was laid. God had already predestinated his people. God already has called his people, justified his people, and glorified his people. That's settled and done in his divine purpose. The covenant was executed by Jesus Christ. He has not left the destiny of a man's soul in the hands of a preacher. No, my friends, we're not redeemed with silver and gold and corruptible things, but with the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's an old song here in the gospel hymnal that says, when mercy's building to complete, which hell nor sin could e'er defeat, the topmost stone shall rise. Then shouting grace, the blood-washed throng of every tribe and every tongue shall rend the vaulted skies. Then shall the church, while seraphs gaze, outshine the sun's meridian blaze in her divine array, while grace eternity long shall sound in high immortal song that sweet harmonious lay. founded in grace forever sure, this glorious fabric shall endure when time his race has run. Cemented with a Savior's blood, who for his saints the winepress trod, in mystic union won. In God's great will the scheme was laid, before his hands the mountains weighed, or spread the unknown seas. Then did his arms of love embrace, a seed elect of Adam's race, his glorious name to praise. Transporting thought, awake my soul, and bid the lagging moments roll that keep thee from the skies. Soon thou shalt bid the world adieu, with sorrows, sins, and sufferings too. Lift up with joy thine eyes. Ah, may we rejoice today to know that salvation is of the Lord. He shall have all of his people, every one that he has elected and predestinated before the foundation of the world, shall be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. They shall stand glorified in his presence to sing that song of redemption. Thou art worthy, for thou hast slain and redeemed us to God. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is of the Lord. May we rejoice in it and be glad of it today. May the Lord bless your hearts with these thoughts. You write us, and now until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you direct from the New Testament Baptist Church. It was under the direction of Pastor Lesayer Bradley, Jr. Address all mail to the New Testament Baptist Church, Cincinnati 17, Ohio. And be sure to listen again next Sunday night at this same time for another Baptist Bible Hour.
WCKY, Cincinnati. 50,000 watts of pure pleasure.
With 50,000 watts of transmitting power, WCKY became the first station to broadcast the Baptist Bible Hour into many parts of the country. As a matter of fact, mail was received from around 30 states, as well as the Bahamas and Canada. It was an exciting time. I've talked to Elder Bradley many times about those days, and just a few days ago we were talking about some of the history of the Baptist Bible Hour. And as we talked, we decided to record the conversation. So I asked him to share what gave rise to his initial interest in radio preaching.
I'd had a special interest in radio all my life. I was intrigued by it as a child. The church where I was brought up had a radio broadcast. And I well remember going to the studios with the pastor when I was just 5 years old and just being totally fascinated by all of the equipment and the big disc on which programs were played back in that day. So in later years, when I felt the burden to preach, I guess I had some interest right away in wanting to preach the gospel on the radio, because I thought that was a very effective means of reaching a lot of people. I was impressed and influenced by some of the religious radio programs that were on the air back in those days. The old-fashioned Revival Hour with Charles Fuller. I also listened to the Nation's Family Prayer Period coming from the Cato Tabernacle in Indianapolis. So I had this interest in being involved in radio preaching. The first broadcast I did on my own was over a little station at Maysville, Kentucky, when I was pastor of a church up in the eastern part of Kentucky. Then after I became pastor at New Testament Baptist Church in Cincinnati, soon thereafter we started the broadcast. I remember walking into WNOP in Newport and talking to the station manager about going on the air, and she was obviously a little mystified about somebody my age coming in to purchase radio time, and seemed apprehensive about whether we'd be able to fulfill the first 13-week contract. But started on that station. That was our first station on which we were broadcasting here in Cincinnati. During our years on that station, most of the Sunday broadcasts were done live. I also did a daily broadcast for a number of years. The next station we added was WLAP in Lexington, and so we've actually been on that station each Sunday morning at 9 o'clock for 39 of these 40 years we've been on the air. And we had hoped to get on WCKY, but they did not sell religious time initially when we made an approach there. They ultimately changed that policy, and we were one of the first religious programs to come on the air. We had a very large audience back in those early days because our program followed the WCKY Country Music Jamboree, which at that time had the best-known, most popular country music disc jockey in the country. And so as we followed that, we just picked up a tremendous audience. And, of course, back then there were fewer stations on the air, and so we had just lots of people throughout the southeastern part of the United States in particular that were listening to the program regularly. So all of this led to building a large and very loyal audience very early in the years that we were on there. By the spring of 1958, we had come into contact with Primitive Baptists. Like most people, we had heard many things about them which were not so and were prejudiced against them. However, quite a few of them were listening to the broadcast then and wrote saying that I was preaching many of the things that they believed. And I suppose that statements like this caused them to say
it. It is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. When Christ came, he made manifest these things that were determined and given of God. He abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel then does not give life, but it brings it to light. It manifests what God has already done and simply brings the good news to the sinner's heart.
As I was preaching the message of grace, I began to get letters from people who told me that I sounded like a Primitive Baptist. Of course, at that time, I didn't know what a Primitive Baptist was. About the same time, some friends of mine had attended a Primitive Baptist church, and so being encouraged from two or three different sources to at least go see what they had, I finally decided to do so because I'd tried to search out every report I heard of people that believed in the doctrine of grace. And many times in that search, I would be disappointed to find out that, yes, there was acknowledgement made as to some basic doctrinal principles, but somewhere along the line, there seemed always to be a fallback to something man had to do and wasn't totally of God's grace. So the first meeting I ever attended among Primitive Baptists, being at Naomi Church in Charleston, West Virginia in 1957, was a wonderful experience. I was particularly impressed by the preaching of Elder Walter Evans. He preached on the effectual call of the Spirit. He started out saying it was all of God. He stuck with it in the middle of his discourse and concluded still preaching the same thing. Didn't take any of it back. That was a little unique. So I was very much intrigued by what I saw and felt in that meeting and went through some struggle for the next year. But during that time, met numbers of other Primitive Baptists. Elder C.E. Daugherty wrote to me after listening to the broadcast one Sunday night, and within a short period of time, we had the opportunity to get acquainted, and he was a tremendous help to me in giving me some guidance that I needed at that time. We ultimately were satisfied that Primitive Baptists had what we've been looking for, both from the standpoint of the doctrine that was preached and the simplicity of the practice of the church. And so in 1958, October, the third weekend, there were Primitive Baptists from all over the country assembled here for a three-day meeting, and Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church was constituted.
Brethren, I feel that I can stand here this morning and say that for my part, I've found the old paths. Ask ye for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein.
In the anniversary program of 1959, Elder Bradley reviewed some of these experiences.
In the afternoon, Elder R.B. Johnson had the congregation sing one of the old songs in the minor key. This type of singing has been characteristic of the old Baptists, and I don't think that there's any kind of music that would suit God's people any better. Impossible for me to describe the blessings of this meeting for you. There was such a wonderful fellowship among the people, and the messages were a great comfort. On Sunday morning, almost 900 people gathered in the auditorium to hear Elder J.A. Monsees. At the close of his message, he gave opportunity for church membership, and over 40 people came forward. After some of them had related their experience, Elder Monsees asked,
"Who can forbid water that these should not be baptized, seeing that they have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?"
We bring you now the Baptist Bible Hour transcribed.
Oh, Lord, a thousand times to sing, my great Redeemer's praise. The glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
Greetings, radio friends. This is the Sir Bradley, Jr. speaking to you from the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church and inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace.
After coming to the Old Baptists, the radio ministry enjoyed significant growth. We were able to add a number of stations and received tremendous response from all over the country. In fact, for a short period of time, we even had the Baptist Bible Hour on TV.
This is Colorful 18 WLEX-TV in Lexington, Kentucky.
Bliss of the purified, bliss of the free, I plunge in the crimson tide, open for me, for sin and...
This is the Baptist Bible Hour with Elder Lassir Bradley, Jr. of the Primitive Baptist Church in Lexington.
Good afternoon. I'm happy to come into your home with another message of God's sovereign grace. It's certainly been a joy to come out this way at the same time each afternoon this week. The Lord willing, tomorrow afternoon, our television program will be seen immediately following the ball game. So I trust that you'll be tuned in at that time. I appreciate the fact that some of you have written to us to let us know that you have viewed these programs. And when you write, we will send you this little booklet entitled The Joyful Sounds. It contains some of our radio.
I very much enjoyed our short run on four television stations, but the cost was just prohibitive to be able to expand that effort. Got to remember, this was a long time ago. Videotape was just becoming a reality, and so the cost of production was tremendous, as well as the airtime. But we've still given thought that someday the Baptist Bible Hour might be back on television.
During this conversation with Elder Bradley in his study here at the Baptist Bible Hour, I learned that many of these TV programs were produced live and never filmed. The segment you just heard from WLEX-TV comes from an audio recording of that program. In addition to conducting live television programs and many live radio broadcasts, as well as the pre-recorded ones, Elder Bradley was also traveling extensively.
I travel among the churches across the country. I always kidded with my good friend Elder Daugherty about whether he was trying to wipe me out in the initial efforts to travel, because he scheduled a series of 3 weeks of appointments, and had appointments in the morning, in the afternoon, and at night for all of those 3 weeks. And I'm not sure he was looking at a road map when he scheduled them. But it was an exciting time, because the buildings most every place I went were completely filled, and it was a time of in-gatherings to the churches around the country, and had some marvelous experiences. I used to carry the recorder with me and would prepare a broadcast sometimes as late as Sunday afternoon, rush it to the airport, get it on the plane so it was in Cincinnati in time to be aired on WCKY that night. And the program originated from many cities across the country: Miami, Atlanta, Jackson, Mississippi, Los Angeles. On and on we could go, and tried to present things that were interesting about the churches from which the programs did originate, and shared some of their singing, and some of the ministers both brought messages and offered prayer. And so we have a wealth of experience tied up in all of the tapes that are here at the Baptist Bible Hour.
Now we're going to ask Elder J.A. Monsees, pastor of Bethany Primitive Baptist Church here in Atlanta, Georgia, to lead us in prayer.
Our Father, we realize that Thou art a prayer-hearing and a prayer-answering God, and we come to Thee at this time, O Lord, beseeching Thee that Thou would smile upon us. Smile upon us propitiously and forgivingly. Go with us, we pray Thee, through this broadcast, and if it can meet with Thy approval, bless Brother Bradley that he may speak to the honor and glory of God.
I certainly enjoyed my visit among the churches in West Tennessee and Mississippi. I'm so happy to be here with the church at Collierville once more. Last time I was here, the Lord blessed us abundantly. We had another delightful time on this visit, with one being added to the church. Just before making this broadcast, I've been visiting with an old brother in the church, Brother Julius Salmon Sr., who's almost 90 years old. It was such a thrill to my heart to be able to hear him talk about the love of God and how the Lord had been merciful to him through the years. He recalled that he was just about 5 years old when the gospel first touched his heart and what it meant to him. How he felt his unworthiness, but he's rejoiced in these great truths of sovereign grace down through the years, as the tears streamed down his cheeks in talking about the goodness of his Lord. It just made me so happy to see that there are those in the church that are faithful throughout such a long period of time and still rejoicing and praising their Lord.
During the months of September and October of this past year, I was blessed to be in some very outstanding meetings. While visiting the churches in the Bear Creek Association of North Carolina, I saw 20 discharge their duty and come into the church. The Lord poured out His Spirit in abundant measure in these services. Great crowds came to hear the gospel preached, and there was much rejoicing as we watched these little ones coming home to the church. These blessings continued on other appointments in North Carolina, Virginia, and also at our home church here in Cincinnati. On a broadcast in October, I gave an account of our annual meeting.
And then we came on here in our communion service tonight, and how sweet it was. Elder Monsees preached for us tonight, and we had another brother coming, a brother Hancock, come asking home with us, and that made 18 in all that have joined during this meeting. I tell you, if every month of my life was like this last one been, I don't know whether I could stand it enough. It all started a month ago today when I was down in the state of North Carolina at the Bear Creek Association, and we saw people start joining, and they've been joining every place they've been ever since. I've seen 45 come into the church in this month's time.
I've certainly enjoyed being here with the Salem Primitive Baptist Church in Natchez, Mississippi over this weekend. There's been very good attendance at all the services, and we feel that the Lord has been with us in these meetings. Find it to be a very fine church and feel thankful for all of the blessings that we have received. Natchez is certainly a beautiful city. There are many of the old homes here that were built back before the Civil War. The city itself, being situated right on the Mississippi River, is a typical southern town, and my, it certainly has been delightful here with the weather so warm and nice and the flowers blooming. It's been really a lovely trip, as well as being in these good services with the Primitive Baptist Church of this city.
I'm speaking to you from the church grounds of the Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Macon, Georgia. It's a beautiful, beautiful day here in the city of Macon. The Lord wonderfully blessed us in the services this morning as a great crowd filled the church, and the Spirit of God was felt in the entire service. It reminded me of a visit about 10 years ago when I was here at Macon. At that time, I had just recently come into the old Baptist church, and there was another great crowd present, and the Lord blessed abundantly at that time.
Well, I'm enjoying my visit here in the state of California. We had a good time on the appointments in Missouri on the way out here. It was quite a contrast in the weather when we arrived in California, because there was a heavy snowfall there at Kansas City. And then when we got to San Francisco the next morning, it was wonderful to see the fruit trees in bloom and the hills all filled with green grass and be able to take off my overcoat and enjoy this nice spring-like weather.
This is Lasair Bradley, Jr., speaking to you from Henderson State University at Arkadelphia, Arkansas. We've just completed a wonderful week of singing here, a singing school co-sponsored by the Old School Hymnal Company and Harmony Primitive Baptist Church of Donelson, Arkansas. Participating in this meeting has been Roland Green, Logan Green, Sonny Lowrance, James Fields, and Paul Drummond. We feel that the Lord has blessed in the singing both the fellowship and the wonderful participation of various styles of singing that have been enjoyed by Primitive Baptists. And we want to share one of those songs with you now.
This concludes side one of this presentation. Please stop the cassette and turn it over.
The theme of grace has been very apparent in Elder Bradley's preaching through most of the 40 years of broadcasting. Even when discussing practical matters, grace is seen to be the foundation for all teaching. I asked Elder Bradley to comment on his frequent use of the terminology sovereign grace.
I find that words are inadequate to really present all that's contained in a given subject, and that's true of grace. The word grace is used so many times in the scriptures, and it's used in a variety of ways. It speaks of the manifold grace of God. But when it comes to the grace by which sinners are saved, there's just one kind, and it's sovereign grace. But because so many have claimed to believe in grace and still tried to connect it with an act of man's free will, we wanted to distinguish what we were talking about, and so invited people to listen to a message of sovereign grace, grace dispensed from the hands of a sovereign God. And while the emphasis, particularly in those early days, was on the theme of sovereignty itself and how God saves sinners, we've tried through the years, as we've hopefully grown in our understanding and appreciation for grace, to broaden the scope of how we've presented the subject and dealt with grace in our daily living, grace that we need in every aspect of serving God. But I think that the emphasis on the message of God's sovereign grace has definitely had an impact in many lives. I can't tell you how many people have written through the years to say, when I first heard you, I thought, this man can't really be preaching that idea that it's entirely of grace, and some set out to try to prove me wrong and were converted to it just as they studied the scriptures. In fact, there are a number of preachers today preaching the message that said they were extremely upset when they first heard me preach that on the radio, and just knew that it would take very little effort to prove how wrong I was, and in their studies became convinced of it. A number of them have become Primitive Baptists and are pastoring churches around the country today.
This message came from Birmingham, Alabama in 1962.
And you know, if a man has been brought to see himself like he really is, to see his sin and feel his iniquity and know its corruption before God, he'll be convinced then that it's salvation by grace. You won't be able to persuade him into thinking it's by works, because he knows that his works and his righteousnesses are his filthy rags. He'll be glad to sing grace to the charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound, and all the earth shall hear. Grace all the works will crown through everlasting days. It lays in heaven the topmost stone, and well deserves the praise. Yes, that man who has felt himself to be a sinner shall know that salvation is by grace, and shall rejoice in it, saying, grace is a charming sound. It will be a charming sound. It'll be the sweetest music that ever rung in his soul to know that salvation is of the Lord.
This is a radio message that was heard in 1963 and then released on Sovereign Grace Recordings.
He then tells us very plainly that it is God who has saved us, and it is God who has called us. Now, negatively, it is not according to our works. It is not because we are willing. It is not because we decided for Christ. It is not because we reformed. It is not because we joined a particular church. It is not because we were baptized. It is not because of our repentance. It is not because of our faith. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began.
Next we hear one from 1975.
During this new year, scientists, educators, businessmen, and politicians alike will all be seeking new ideas and setting new records. But while these men will be promoting that which is new, it is the responsibility of gospel ministers to affirm that which is old. On the first day of this new year, I come to you with the age-old message of the gospel of the Son of God. I come to tell you that in spite of the fact that the world is changing and that there are many new ideas, new advancements, and new discoveries, that the God of heaven is the same as he has ever been from before the morning of time. We find the prophet Malachi recording these words, "I am God, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed."
And the theme continues to be salvation by grace, as we hear in a message preached in 1982.
And the text says in its entirety that these who received him, and the only ones, my friend, that ever have and ever will receive Jesus Christ from a gospel standpoint, to rejoice in him and recognize him as being the Savior, are going to be those who were born already, born of the Spirit of God, born again. How? Not by blood, not by natural lineage, not by the will of the flesh.
Not because they decided, not because they voted, not because they made up their mind, not of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man. It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But these were born of God. There's just one will in salvation. That's God's will. And since salvation is of the Lord, it's entirely by his sovereign grace, he deserves all the glory. I grant you, if man had something to do with saving himself, he'd deserve a little credit. But since he doesn't have anything to do with it, he doesn't get any credit. It all goes to the Lord. He is the one that saves us by his wonderful sovereign grace.
And in 1991, a message from the text, "He shall not fail."
The only way that God could be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus, the only way that righteousness could be satisfied and mercy be bestowed was that Jesus Christ pay the penalty, pay the price that sinners could never have paid. He shall save his people from their sins, and he did it. He was a success. He was no failure. Our text says he shall not fail. And he said just before he died, "It is finished." And it was finished. Redemption was complete. He paid the price. He got what he paid for. He shall not fail.
Through the years, Elder Bradley has related many experiences about blessings in the Lord's service. But in addition to sharing these joys, he has also related some of his sorrows, as we now hear from August 1965.
This past week on Tuesday, my wife Emily gave birth to a little girl that we named Elizabeth. But our little girl died the next day. On Wednesday, we had a service for her and buried her Friday of this week. I'm sure that you can well understand this has been a time of great sorrow in our life. We looked forward so much to the coming of our little baby, but we found that the Lord has been gracious to us in this time of darkness and trial. The Lord certainly enabled us to look to him, and in the midst of this disappointment and sorrow, to find the peace that the world knows nothing about. It's described by one of the New Testament writers as being a peace which passeth understanding. I talked to you recently on one of these broadcasts from the expression by the Apostle Paul, which says, "Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing." My wife said to me that she had heard me speak from this passage, but she had never been made to feel their full import until this time of sorrow came into our life. I'll tell you, my friends, I have tried to declare to you through the past years the great messages of sovereign grace on these broadcasts. And I have said time and time again that this is a comforting doctrine. It's a doctrine that brings honor to the name of our Lord and satisfaction to his people. It's good to live by. It's good to die by. It's good when darkness and trouble and affliction comes into our homes. I think I appreciate this wonderful message tonight more than I've ever appreciated it before.
Good singing, and it's been really fascinating in my travels among Baptists across the country to see the many different styles of singing. I've carried the recorder with me a lot of times and recorded singing at a number of different churches. Some of the styles of singing are quite unique. In fact, back when the country was celebrating its bicentennial, the Library of Congress asked for permission to use a couple of recordings that I had made, one back in East Kentucky and another one up near Sparta, North Carolina.
Upon skies her heavenly wings. Sweet communion, solemn vows.
That they felt was expressing really what folk music was like in years gone by, particularly in the song in which Elder Evans was lining the old hymns. So whether it's the lining of the songs back in the Appalachian Mountains or the sacred harp style of singing that's influenced the states of Alabama and Arkansas in particular, or some of the more recent styles of singing that are heard really in all parts of the country, the ultimate interest in it all is the singing of praise to our Savior Jesus Christ and the theme of His grace that permeates all of these wonderful hymns and spiritual songs. To the songs that I've recorded actually in church services, I have encouraged the recording of good hymns in a variety of settings. The original Baptist Bible Hour singers were directed by Elder Paul Trautner, and the recordings made here at Cincinnati.
Revive thy work, O Lord.
In 1959, Elder Roland Green came and conducted a recording session down in the Music Hall facility for the original session of the Primitive Baptist Radio Singers.
Singing is a very personal thing. The Apostle Paul tells us that we are to teach and admonish one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Of all the hymns heard on the Baptist Bible Hour, one stands out as bringing more response than any other. That hymn speaks of the difficult way of a child of God, but offers the comfort of God's manifest presence. That hymn, A Touch of His Gentle Hand, with Rachel Taylor Powell and the Harmony Hill Hymn Singers.
No matter how dark the night, or bitter the winds that blow, one touch of the Master's gentle hand, and I am ready to go. I'll go anywhere with Him.
Of His gentle hand. One touch of
Then, of course, Sonny Lowrance has conducted a session of the Primitive Baptist Radio Singers for us here in Cincinnati, and then has done an excellent job with the Harmony Plain Singers out in the state of Texas.
My span of life will soon be done. The
Over the years, we've had a lot of ministers on the program. Some have been present to offer prayer or share an experience, and many of them have brought messages. And it's very inspiring to go back and listen to what some of these faithful old servants said, to think about what their lives meant to the church. And certainly I think about how much they have influenced me and how much I appreciate the fellowship that I enjoyed with them, and know that many of our listeners have appreciated hearing their voices from time to time.
Elder J. A. Monsees from Atlanta, Georgia.
Preach the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. When you preach this truth, you say that He won the battle, that He fought the war, that He satisfied the demands, that He took care of all of this. And now you, God's children, are the victors because He was the victor. You're saved because of what Jesus has done, not because of any righteousness that we've performed.
Elder P.H. Byrd from Twin City, Georgia.
Not got God to reconcile to us. It's us to be reconciled to God. He's always been reconciled to us in Christ. And you look in Christ and see all the merits me and you'd ever have, because all of them was in Christ from all eternity. You just look over in Christ and see, and we were chosen in Christ, and see us in all the merits we needed for time and eternity. Oh, what a wonderful God. And I didn't know I needed such a God till I found out I was a heavyweight sinner and bound for hell just as fast as I could do. I knew I had to have a Savior then.
Elder C.M. Mills from Charlotte, North Carolina.
And let me tell you this, that's a hard job to create something. That's to take nothing, make something out of it. If you want the job, go ahead.
Now that's creation. Only God can create. A man asked me one time after I'd been preaching along some of these thoughts, helped me to the arm, and says, "Preacher, can a man create a fuss?" I says, "No, sir. He can just stir one up. He's got the ingredients to start with." You know, creation is to make something out of nothing.
And it's a creation to make you a child of God. Then it's bound to be God's work. It's of God that you're in Christ Jesus.
Elder Ben Lord from Dudley, Georgia.
I want to say to you that though the night may be dark, the old adage says that the darkest time of the night is just before day. My precious friends, however dark the night may be, the sun will rise and shine in all of its beauty and all of its glory, and one day you shall see the Lord as your own personal Savior.
Elder C.E. Smith from Shawnee, Oklahoma.
Everything in the Bible is connected with John 3:16. First, we have the source and origin of God's love for God. We have the infinitude of God's love, soul. The nature, energy, and activity of God's love that He loved. The object of God's love, the world. The grace of God's love that He gave. The measure of God's love, His only begotten Son. The heirs of God's love that whosoever believeth. And the channel or the reservoir of God's love or the Son of God's love that whosoever believeth in Him. And the preventative of God's love should not perish. The positive or the possessive of God's love but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. God the Father so loved the world that He designed a covenant. And backed it with His oath, the oath of God Almighty, to save a people, a multitude that no man could number.
Elder Walter Evans from Sparta, North Carolina.
He cried, "O Daniel," in a lamentable voice. I wonder just how it sounded. Cried with a lamentable voice, "O Daniel, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions?" Here's the reason I think it is a happy night. O King, live forever. My God has sent His angel and has locked the jaws of the lion, that they've done me no harm. They've not hurt me. He had the power and action it did. Lock the jaws of those beasts. That's why I feel like it is a happy night for that praying servant.
And Elder H.P. Copeland from Arab, Alabama.
Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear upon the earth, and the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. There's a new season come, there's a change of seasons. And don't live back over here like it was winter time in the dark, gloomy, cold days, but in the beautiful light of the spring sunshine, the beautiful melody of the singing of birds rise up in harmony and in unison with the very dictates of the Spirit of God, and clothe yourselves with the beautiful garments of salvation and walk in the pathway together.
Understandably, with messages like these from various preachers around the country, the consistent preaching of Sovereign Grace by Elder Bradley, and the presentation of many old hymns of the faith, a large and very loyal audience has listened through the years.
You know, in traveling around the country, I find many interesting things about people listening to the program. Some of the older folks tell me that it's just a little bit too late for them to stay up to 10:30, so they go on to bed at their usual time, set the alarm, and get back up at 10:30 and listen to the program. You know, I appreciate that. People are so interested in hearing it that they'll go to that much effort. And then some people say they can't get it real good on their radio, but they have a friend that can. So the friend that can hear it real well puts the telephone up to the radio. Neighbor down the road calls up, and they listen to us over the telephone. So however you're hearing us tonight, we're glad that you're tuned in and appreciate the great interest that's shown in the preaching of God's sovereign grace.
Well, as I was listening to that excerpt there just now, it brought to mind the fact that there must be just dozens of other stories like that, and Elder Bradley is sitting here with a smile on his face. I think he may be recalling one.
Well, it made me think about a man I saw just not too long ago on one of my preaching trips, and he said, "Preacher, you know, when I was a young man, I really didn't like you." He said, "I was trying to court the girl that's now my wife. And we'd be sitting in the swing on the front porch on Sunday night, and just about the time I thought we were really having a nice visit, here came her father out the front door to sit in the truck, which was right there at hand, so that he could listen to your broadcast on WCKY." I said, "You really made my courtship difficult."
Speaking of interesting and unique things that surrounded the broadcast for years, as you have gone back through the files here in preparation for this anniversary month, has there been anything in particular that's impressed your mind? Or
yes, really some significant historical events that come to mind as we look at some of the things that are in the files. I see where there were three programs that were preempted on WCKY when the Voice of America took over that station during the Cuban Missile Crisis.
See, another time we were preempted because of the events that were being carried on radio regarding the assassination of President Kennedy. And then not too many years ago, the program was interrupted by a news bulletin one Sunday night by CBS News. And there was the announcement made of that terrible plane crash in Detroit. Mm. And as soon as the announcement was made, I was able to come right back on the air. And we offered prayer right then for those that were injured and those that were grieving the loss of loved ones.
Yeah, well, remember that night as I was listening and things went quiet for just a second and that news bulletin came in and thought it was so appropriate to have prayer for those families. Is there anything, Brother Bradley, that you would like to say personally to the listeners to the Baptist Bible Hour?
Well, I'm just so thankful for the great opportunity that I've had to be able to preach over the radio for 40 years. There have been people listen to us from a lot of different places. Numbers of people that say, I listened to you in my cars, I drove along the highway, I listened to you from the hospital. We get letters from prisons. We've gotten mail from people all across the United States, from foreign countries, countries in distant parts of the world I didn't even know existed. We've gotten some sweet letters from children, letters from widows who have faithfully supported the program through the years. They've even gotten mail from people who have reached their 100th birthday and still listening to the program, still supporting it. It's been most encouraging, the response that we've received, and I'm thankful for everyone that has been a fellow laborer with us in this ministry. And I pray that the Lord will bless us in whatever time we have left, that we can faithfully preach the message of grace and preach the whole counsel of God that is so desperately needed in this evil time in which we're living.
And we close with those familiar words.
And now until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
Amen.